tree. And there are flying helicopters trying to capture the Earth Doctor while they bring the white poison into the streets. I tell you, it is a war. It is a war. It's no joke, it's a war on the people, I say.
Hey, good morning. It's a really, really, really cold morning out there. Snow's falling in some places, and it's trying to fall down here in the city. So I hope you're nice and warm and cozy, and make yourself another cup of tea, and listen to Positively Revolting Talk Radio.
See, now I live further afield, and I can honestly say I can see all these sort of little microclimates as I come into the city. Because, in fact, while I live in the city, you know, I live on, like, 73rd, and it's snowing up until 50th, like big, fluffy, white, fluffy flakes. 50th,
not so much.
Slushy.
And then Milwaukee's the banana belt.
39th,
yeah.
Totally rain. You know?
And then down here by the river, there's big flakes falling, but they melt on your windshield. So, yes, just stay warm and dry and curl up, because we got a great show coming up for you. And, of course, there's always good stuff here on KBOO. And I'm Melody.
And I'm Ani.
And we have our lovely perma-guest this morning. He who has been on more episodes of Positively Revolting Talk Radio than anybody else.
Is that true anymore? It probably
I think so. Mr. Dan Handelman.
Good morning.
Welcome to the show.
We're always happy when you can grace us with your presence, because, in fact, you are working on so many just hugely important issues. I see Melody has a stack of flyers.
I do. They're all announcements, but they're all related to our topic.
They are.
I would just sort of, you know, weave them into the tofu of the show as we go, because they all relate to our biggest, you know, topic here, which is an upcoming rally and march to end the war and begin the peace. And that's going to be a week from Sunday, the 19th. At Waterfront Park, starting at 1:30, and that's what Dan is here to talk about. And we also have some wonderful guests on the phone to elaborate on why this is so important. And just you don't want to go anywhere. You just want to stick around.
Well, actually, I would like to give these the ones over here at the top of the show.
Okay.
Because they're all related, but in fact, they're different things. So there is the rally in March, end of the war, beginning of the peace. That's what we're calling for. That's on the 19th. That is a gathering at 1:30 at Waterfront Park. And then on the 20th, that very next day, at noon, across or at the federal building, actually, which is 3rd at Jefferson, 1220 Southwest 3rd, there's a gathering to support a delegation of peace lobbyists who are trying to get an audience with Senator Wyden. The peace lobbyists are insisting that he's going to introduce legislation to end the war and occupation in Iraq. So it's important, I think, to support a group of activists that are demanding an audience, because, you know, it's a hard thing to do. So that's noon at the Federal Building on Monday, the 20th. If you need information on that, there is a number that is 503-327-8250. And so that is the gathering on the 20th. So, right. I just wanted to make sure that that got announced, you know, sort of separately. It's not the same thing. It is the same issue.
Yes, it is.
But it's not the same thing.
And also, that particular gathering could result in civil disobedience and possibly the Portland police being summoned. So just so you know that.
Well, I mean, that could be the result of a peace lobbyist demanding an audience with Senator Wyden.
Sad, isn't it?
They've tried to get an appointment, I think, but that
when citizens try to have to talk to their senator and they get arrested for doing so, that's pretty pathetic.
Yeah, I was actually threatened with arrest at the guy who groped Bob
Packwood.
We call him
Mr. Box Wine.
Yeah, that one. You know, at the beginning of the invasion of Grenada, in fact, because we also were just trying to get an audience with a senator, and you know, you'd think in a free and democratic society that our elected representatives would give us an audience.
You'd think. Yes.
But I guess that would probably mean either we're mistaken or we don't live in a free and democratic society.
Well, I think the problem is that you were a little lacking in the wallet department. If you
free
had a fatter
and democratic
wallet,
society would mean that, in fact, we don't need to pay for an audience for our senators.
Well,
but
yes,
in fact, perhaps I'm too optimistic. So we have with us, as Melody mentioned, Dan Handelman.
Morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. And we also have Steve and Michelle DeFord on the phone. They are from Military Family Speak Out, and I'm not sure which particular lovely DeFord we have with us at this moment.
Hi. I've never been called that before. Hi, this is Steve.
Yay.
Good morning.
Thank
Welcome
you
morning.
Very much for joining us this morning.
You're welcome.
I'm going to go ahead and I wonder
about Jimi Hendrix feedback.
Do you have a radio on?
Yes, just a minute. My wife's listening in the other room. She just turned it off.
Okay, there we go with the feedback. Well, the feedback's still there a little bit in the background, so our engineering pixies will be looking into that, I'm sure. And meanwhile, we'll go ahead and start the conversation this morning. So there is a
Can we hang on a second? I'm getting really bad feedback here.
Okay, well, actually, why don't we just go ahead and put you back on hold, and we'll try to problem solve what that feedback
is. I'm actually turning it off even as we speak there.
Oh, okay. All right. I think it's still there on our end. But we'll still have our engineering pixies working on that.
Okay, yeah, I still hear strange things.
Yeah, it sounds a little like you're meeting with Jimi Hendrix.
Well, you know, he was very peace-oriented. Maybe he's trying to communicate.
Yeah, you never know. So again, we have a rally. It's coming up on Sunday. It's addressing many, many issues. And I guess I would like to start off with Dan, who is actually in the studio, with the overview of how is it there is a rally and march, ending the war, beginning the peace, that is looking at so very many issues, bringing them under one cover to really try to address as a broad base. What's the thought behind that?
Well, it's interesting. I was actually at a community forum Wednesday night led by State Representative Chip Shields, where somebody raised this question: why aren't we only focusing on the war, which is really more of an occupation than a war? But the point is that everything is interconnected, and I think you talk about that all this time on the show.
Yes.
And you cannot really only talk about U.S. policy in Iraq without also talking about what's going on in terms of, let's say, the human rights abuses that are going on, both in this country with the spying and abroad in Guantanamo Bay and in Iraq itself with torture. And so that's one of our sub-themes: respect human rights and international law, stop the torture and spying. We also have quite a few people in this country who are young and have no job opportunities, and they're being preyed upon by the military. So one of the sub-themes is military recruiters out of schools.
which, of course, the Supreme Court just ruled unanimously that if colleges accept federal money, they have to allow military recruiters on campus.
Right, which is why it's all the more important for us to speak out and say, we disagree with that, and it's time to change the laws that make that possible. Then another sub-theme is fund education, healthcare, jobs, and the environment, not war, which I would hope that most people realize that their money for those good things is being sucked away by all the money that's going to war. And one of the things that is really important is that we're not talking only about money that's going into the war, the American war machine in the form of the Pentagon, but the private contractors, the so-called private contractors from Halliburton and everybody who's making tons of money, tons times more money than ordinary soldiers.
Yes, like 10 times as much.
Let's call them war profiteers. Let's call them perhaps mercenaries.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's a lot where a lot of this budget for this occupations of Iraq and Afghanistan are going, is to pay these private contractors. So that money could be going to fund education, healthcare, jobs, and the environment.
It certainly could. And not only that, I mean, I think it's really devolved from being not that it was ever really a war, but it's now a civil war that we have largely made possible and we have no business being in the middle of. And our being there is only going to exacerbate everything that you just spoke of. You know, the money drain, the torture, the lack of the civil rights abuse, human rights abuses. I mean, the environmental devastation, everything that's happening that's bad in Iraq, we're making it worse by being there.
Well, we aren't. The American
collectively, yes, America is making it worse collectively by invading.
I think the people who are on the phone with us today and we and the people who are listening are realizing now that we didn't vote for this and we don't want this to go on anymore. So that's why we're doing this. All right, so let me just tell you the last two sub-themes. I'm going backwards in order to get to the one that Steve's going to be addressing next Sunday at the rally. As a member of Military Families Speak Out and Gold Star Families Speak Out. Okay, so the second to last one in the backwards order is and the occupations of Iraq, Afghanistan, the West Bank, and Gaza. And this is not without some discussion that we came to this particular sub-theme, but it's really important to realize that U.S. policy in the Middle East is will not be resolved in terms of how people in that area of the world perceive America until the occupation of the West Bank and Gaza is ended. So that's why that's included with the occupations that America itself is participating in, the occupations of Iraq and Afghanistan. But the occupation of the West Bank and Gaza, which I can get into the details of that some other time, but Gaza is still technically occupied, even though the soldiers may be on the outside. It's not a free area to live in.
No.
And it couldn't happen without U.S. support. And so, here we go. And then the top sub-theme says, bring all the troops home now and no more blood for oil.
Yes.
And I think Steve will talk a little bit more about that, but just as a catch-all, that no more blood for oil clearly also addresses, please don't attack Venezuela. Please don't attack Iran. And, you know, whatever your interests are.
Or Syria or Jordan.
Syria, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, which I think the Democrats are, you know, sort of always hinting at in the back of their little
talking points.
That's scary. Yeah.
So there you go. And that's what the sub-themes are. I just saw, also, before I turn it over to Steve, wanted to mention that right now there's 144 organizations and businesses that are supporting this rally in March.
Well, that's really amazing.
It's a great coalition. And I think, personally, I just got to throw in, I'm excited that people are making connections between the situation here and our so-called foreign policy. And I think that, all bow to it. That's important. So, Steve.
Yes.
Excellent. You are still with us, and the strange metallic feedback sounds have disappeared, so we can actually hear you.
That was probably the government tuning in there, fine, you know.
The fine tuning. So thank you so much for joining us. You are with Gold Star Families Speak Out, Military Families Speak Out. First,
and Veterans for Peace.
And Veterans for Peace, all of the above. Excellent. Can you let us know, first of all, what Gold Star Families Speak Out, Military Families Speak Out, can you let us, our listeners, know what those groups are exactly, why those groups have formed?
Okay, Military Families Speak Out and Gold Star Families Speak Out are both support groups. Military Families Speak Out, Military Families Speak out, is a group of people that have military or family members in the military now that are either being deployed or are over there now or have come back and have problems. And Gold Star families speak out, unfortunately, is when your son doesn't come back.
Right.
And it's a really good support group, too. There's quite a few of us in it now, unfortunately, but we have contact with each other on a daily basis through the Internet. So that helps a lot.
Yeah, for a loss so huge, I'm sure that and a very, very strong support network is one of the only things that can help that. That sort of feeling of there are others and we are solid together.
And there are so many families in Oregon that unfortunately have lost a family member in Iraq because of the heavy deployment of our National Guard there. Is that not true?
I don't know if there's been a lot, you know, Gold Star families. There are a few. Not all of them feel like we do. A lot of them are very supportive of the president still and speak out for the war. I'm not sure what the number is. I really, you know. It doesn't concern me other than the fact that I'm one.
Right,
exactly. I mean, the fact that any Oregonian or any Americans as troops have died there and continue to die every day in combat is just really unacceptable, I think.
That kind of leads me into what I'm going to be talking about on the 19th because I'm really getting frustrated.
Uh-huh.
And it's been 18 months almost. He died on September 25th, 2004. And since that time, if I've got time to give you a brief how we got here.
Yeah, no, please. That was my next question. Go right ahead.
David David was a cook. That's what he did for a living in Portland. He was 37 years old. Right after 9/11, he joined the National Guard because he felt he owed the community something. And his friends that he was in a motorcycle club with were all members of this one unit, and they needed a cook, so it fit in really well. So David became a cook, and he went on forest fires. He really enjoyed that, and he thought that maybe he could really help Oregon and you know, the United States. He never once suspected that he'd be in Iraq. But unfortunately, his unit was activated, and unfortunately, they don't need cooks in Iraq because Halliburton is providing meals.
Right.
So David was cross-trained and became a machine gunner in an unarmored Humvee.
Oh, my.
See, that just blows my mind that we ever considered sending our troops into combat without the proper protection. That's just insane.
Yeah, I remember reading something about how many lives would have been saved if they'd had the proper armor, upper body armor. Anyway, David had his training. He went through Texas down there, and then he went through a couple other training areas, and they ended up in Kuwait, where they went through their final training. And that was the last time he was ever allowed to fire his machine gun because they didn't have enough ammunition in Iraq to practice. So for 6 months, he took his machine gun apart every night and put it back together, never knowing for sure if it had fired because he only had whatever he had with him as ammunition. It was like 250 rounds or something like that.
Goodness.
I'm just amazed. My mouth is hanging open here. I just can't. I mean, what's the point of sending someone into combat with no ammunition? I don't understand.
And no armor.
I mean, what can you accomplish with no ammunition? Why even be there? I just don't get it.
Yeah, it was especially since we left all these munitions and stuff unguarded. You know, the Iraqis ended up going, or whoever went back and got later on.
Hey.
Anyway, David was on a routine being a relative term, I guess.
All right, I think that would be where the air quotes come in.
He was on a routine resupply mission north of Baghdad. He was the 14th vehicle in a 14 vehicle convoy, so he was the tail gunner. And somebody set off an improvised explosive device as the last vehicle went by. And they do that typically, and it gives the people who set off the device time to get away before the front vehicles can circle around.
Uh-huh.
So it went off, and it threw the vehicle in the air, turned it completely around. And everybody got out and was patting themselves on the back about how, well, we really survived that. It was really cool. Not a scratch anywhere. And they looked up, and David was slumped over.
Goodness.
I'm so sorry.
The shrapnel went through the side of the Humvee and up and hit him in the back of the head. And he died instantly. Well, and...
Yeah.
Right after we, right after we received that news, and while we were still in shock, I contacted a group that I heard about on Air America called RealVoices.org, and they asked us if we would be willing to go down to Florida and campaign to get out the vote, is what they called it, but it was more, you know, anti-Bush type campaign.
Sure.
And even though we were in shock, we were so pissed that we decided we'd do it.
Uh-huh.
And we flew down there. My wife had never flown before, so this is a real adventure. And we met Cindy Sheehan down there, and we traveled across northern Florida with her for a week. And we attended a bunch of rallies. We had lots of interviews and attempted to get into a Cheney rally, which was a real experience. From there, we ended up in Crawford last summer. My wife and I both were down there for a week. My wife went on the bus, the Southern bus, that toured down in the South and ended up in D.C., where my daughter and I met her and all the military families speak out and Gold Star families speak out. People there, and we talked to each and every one of our senators, both of them, even though Mr. Smith tried to avoid us.
Yeah. Why am I not surprised?
Yeah, it was really interesting. And he ended up talking to us, but he told us something that he looked at us after we had talked, and he said, "Well, I'm really sorry for your loss, but I hope you'll feel better someday. The pain will be lessened when you realize that President Bush was right."
Mm.
And my wife just looked at him and said, "You're out of touch with reality."
Mm.
And so that kind of became a standard line that we told everybody that, you know, "Hello, you're not representing us. I mean, you might say you are, but you're just standing there. You're not doing anything. Let's get vocal." The only one that we didn't talk to was David Wu, and somehow we just never made connections with him. But we talked to all the others. And Greg Walden we met with for over 2 hours. And we thought, gosh, what a nice guy. I mean, he's such a personable guy. But he is just not at all what I thought he was. I've since checked into him, and he's bad news.
He comes across as very personable. I'll give him that. But I'm not so sure that's really sincere. That's my personal opinion, having spoken with him.
So after Crawford, we met in Washington, D.C., and we attended the rally there. And, gosh, it's kind of interesting that we went to just Michelle and I, my wife, just the two of us, and we kind of felt like we were all alone in the world after this happened, and nobody felt like we did. So then we went to Crawford, Texas, and there were 12,000 people that went through there. So we're thinking, wow, this is really a rush. I mean, there are all these other people that, you know, they're always coming up to us. They keep talking, you know, "You're doing great. We got to stop this somehow," and pat us on the back. And, you know, and then we went to Washington, D.C., where there was like 600,000 people. And thinking, wow, this is really starting to roll. And we come back home, and it's just like people are just talking. That's all they do. And that's kind of what I'm going to hit on. It's just, it's time to quit talking. It's time to just quit going to marches. Time to quit just attending rallies. Time to quit just talking about it with yourself and your neighbors and all. It's time to get busy and get out there and talk to the representatives. Go visit them. Send them letters. Call them every day. It can't take more than 2 or 3 minutes to call one of them. Make it a point. We got to get out and get activated here, or we're just going to lose our country.
I think that's an excellent point. I want to say, first of all, I want to say it's 8 o'clock in the morning. People are listening to KBOO-FM Portland. 90.7 on your FM dial here in Portland, 100.7 or 91.9, depending on if you're listening south in the valley or out in the gorge. We welcome everyone. Maybe you're listening online at www.kboo.fm. If you know folks that live outside the listening area that would, say, be interested in what KBOO has to offer, please do let them know they can listen online. KBOO.FM. Follow the links to listen to KBOO now. I want to also, I guess, say that, I absolutely concur. It is time to do more than go to rallies and marches and talking to our friends. But at the same time, it's still extremely important that we attend rallies and marches and talk to our friends and our families. We just need to spread the word in every way possible.
Yeah, I think talking to families is an excellent idea, especially like aunts and uncles that live in different states.
Mm-hmm.
You know, spread it out that way. We want to get the Midwest to talk about things.
Yeah.
Well, we know from seeing the polls that the vast majority of Americans no longer support, if they ever did, the occupation of Iraq, and the majority of people do not agree with Bush. They do want to see the troops come home, and I think you're right. It's time to make this a reality. And we need to put pressure on, you know, not just our senators and Congress people, because they're our personal representatives, but we need to put pressure on the key people in key committees in Senate and Congress who really have the power to make this happen, and make sure that they know that the American people are really disgusted, and we're tired of seeing our sons and daughters killed. We're tired of seeing our treasury vacuum clean for the benefit of Halliburton, and we're tired of seeing pictures of people being tortured on our dime by our troops and by the orders of people who are higher ups. And it's just time for this all to end.
So just to remind people, one of the reasons we're doing this today is that a week from Sunday is this huge rally and march that we're going to have downtown at Waterfront Park. And I have to mention a few things that we don't have in our literature, which is that there's a lot of construction down by the park. So we're asking people to come to the park by Oak Street, which is north of the Morrison Bridge, like two blocks north of Morrison Bridge, because that's where the construction area ends. And then you can kind of filter into the park from there. And we really need a lot more volunteers. When, you know, when Steve says you got to do more than come to rallies and marches, well, if you want to come to a rally and march, one of the really important things you can do is pitch in and, you know, get your hands a little bit dirty, because we got to pick up and put together the infrastructure for this. We got to pick up the loudspeaker systems and put them up. We got to put the tables to get together. There are going to be about 70 organizations with tables there that you can get literature from. And this is why, one of the reasons why rallies and marches are important, especially the way that we organize them here in Portland, that part of it is the education and getting people hooked up with organizations like Military Families Speak Out and Gold Star Families Speak Out and Veterans for Peace. We'll be sharing a table, and people can go and talk to them directly and sign up and be on a mailing list. So we do need volunteers. And I also just, while I got the microphone for 2 seconds, I want to say that Sunday is going to be a very fun experience for volunteers. There's going to be a sign-making party going on at the Mennonite Church on Southeast Main Street around 34th and Main, and they are going to be cranking out some signs for the rally, and I hope that people
can
turn
up. You mean this Sunday?
So that's this Sunday the 12th?
This Sunday the 12th.
At what time?
At noon, from noon to 3 or 4 in the afternoon. So you can call Peace and Justice Works. That's the group that I'm with, and I don't know if we've said that yet, at 503-236-3065. I will hopefully also have that address posted on our website later today. Right now it just says sign making party, but there's contact info for Portland Peaceful Response Coalition, who's actually one of the coordinators of it.
Well, for those of you who have ever fantasized about being a roadie for a band, you know, like, hey, dudes, get your butts out there and help set up that sound system and those tables, you know. Live your fantasy a little bit in the service of peace and justice.
Yeah, so, yeah, you can call us, too, for volunteering.
I also want to invite our listeners to join in the conversation this morning. 503-231-8187 is the number to call if you'd like to join us on the air. I believe somebody has done that. Nope. I take it all back.
Well,
but
you could, though.
You could do that. 503-231-8187. And we'll see how that goes. So, again, we're having, when I say we, I mean you, you're having the rally and march on the 19th to mark the third anniversary of the war.
Yes, that's the day that the bomb started dropping.
And yet, you know, I heard the war was over just weeks after
war
began.
That.
Steve, do you want to take that one? The mission accomplished sign?
Yeah, the mission accomplished. Yeah, he should, like, put that up there every day because his mission's been accomplished.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go.
Yeah, he got to appear in a flight suit, you know, and, like, live his little Top Gun fantasy. But the rest of us, funny, I don't think our mission is accomplished.
I wonder if that's his original flight suit from when he was AWOL in the National Guard.
I don't think so.
I doubt that would fit him anymore. I don't know.
I certainly hope he didn't look like he was wearing Depends back then, you know, like he did in that photo that everybody saw.
Melody, she's vicious this morning.
Okay, well, I'm sorry, he did.
So here we are, 3 years later, mission not accomplished.
Yeah, actually, you know, my theme in my head is we've become what Iraq was.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And unfortunately, it's so true. You know, the secret police roaming the streets, picking up people and taking away and torturing them, and a Congress that just says yes.
Well, and I've heard so many, not personally heard them, but I've read the words of so many Iraqi activists, especially the women, saying that, you know, you know, we hate to say this, folks, but we were better off under Saddam. Yeah. I mean, Saddam had, for all of his many, many faults, and he was, you know, he's a pretty horrible dictator. His country was conducted in a very secular way. Women had the most freedom there of any mainstream Islamic country. They didn't have to wear the burqa. They were, you know, freely worked and were educated and could be doctors or lawyers or whatever. And now they're afraid to go outside. I mean, and the average Iraqi can't find a job, and there's no clean water or electricity. I mean, they were far better off before in those ways, although, of course, they were living under the tyranny of Saddam, but now they're living on a different kind of tyranny. I'm not so sure that anything we've done has helped them at all.
I personally can't think of anything we've done over there that's been helpful, as you know, for the long term. Everything over there that we've done is real short term, except for maybe building military bases.
Those are not Iraqi military bases that we're building. Those are for Americans to stay there.
Yes, they are.
Unfortunately. And that's one part of the bring all the troops home call is no permanent military bases. And to Steve, you make a good point. Once people are contacting their elected representatives or whatever, that should always be part of the call about bringing the troops home, that we don't want to make any mistake that we're going to make leave people there to just make sure things are going okay, because that is still an occupation.
Well, there's been some talk of a UN peacekeeping force or something of that kind, which might be all right. But yeah, I agree with you. I don't think that leaving the troops there, any troops, is a good solution at this point. We need to get out of there, and maybe some other peacekeeping force can help the Iraqis get through what I mean, it looks like a civil war is pretty much ignited, and I'm not sure how quickly it will diminish. But it's really an ugly situation, and I just don't think that leaving our troops there is a good idea. They're just going to be in harm's way. There's nothing that they can do except make it worse at this point.
Who wants to sacrifice their son or daughter to be the last soldier killed in Iraq? You know,
well, exactly.
Right. And speaking of the numbers, I mean, just the astonishing numbers of men and women killed in Iraq. For American troops, it's really hard to get an accurate number, as so many things are somehow or another not counted by our Pentagon. Certainly, there's been the press ban on actually covering or, you know, showing images of coffins or the body bags returning. And I wonder how that is honoring, you know, the service that these men and women have given their country.
It totally
David came home on freight, United Freight.
Uh-huh.
And he came home at night, so the press wasn't allowed out there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, I recall reading a story about a family that made a huge stink about their loved one being returned in such a way, and I think they were really justified. I mean, the person was supposed to have a color guard or whatever receive his remains at the airport, and they weren't going to be there, and the father made a huge stink, and you know, I just, that's the least that could be done in a situation like that. And then that's not even to mention all the people, there's over 10,000 people who've been seriously life alteringly wounded in Iraq, you know, maimed, had their leg blown off or their arm or something. And
that's I think that's actually a very low number.
Yeah.
Dan,
I think it is low.
Do you have information?
18,000 is life, I think, what I heard last.
And of people that have been seriously wounded?
No, I don't have the numbers. Off.
It's huge. Okay.
And it is very large.
It's really, I mean, that's just like a really difficult situation. You come home and, you know, here you are, you're 22 and you're missing a leg. It's a really horrible thing.
Yeah, well, and of course, there's cuts in benefits and medical assistance for them, and it's just horrible.
Right,
and not to mention the thousands and thousands of Iraqis who've lost their lives and limbs. And
so again, you know, I just want to underscore this to the biggest extent I possibly can. So we have this administration who basically went this war alone without any kind of support from any strong plurality of the world's populace. Except those that they could blackmail, bribe, and arm twist into international support. We have this administration who has gone into this war, who has packaged and sold the war as hard as they could, and who has began the jingoistic term of, you know, you support the troops or you're with the terrorists.
Yeah, black and white.
And we have the same administration then that does not properly outfit the troops, that does not provide them with adequate armor nor adequate ammunition, as your story very poignantly points to. And then we have this very self-same administration that cuts health benefits and pensions to the vets that are currently serving in this war that they have packaged, sold, and continue to push. That's a travesty. That's like, it's beyond evil. I don't know what it is.
It's mega evil.
I don't know what it is. It's just like, it's insane is what it is. We need to stop it.
It's insane. I think he, I think he's insane.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's both are just insane. They've got so much power, they've just gone insane with it.
They're megalomaniacs, and they, you know, I don't think anything's going to stop them. As if you've read, I'm sure you're familiar with the Project for a New American Century, where they have this fantasy of not only global domination, but domination of the solar system. I mean, that's just nutty stuff.
It's scary.
And we, you know, I think that it's really, I'm really glad that people like you are speaking out. And I'm glad you're going to be speaking at the rally, because I think it's important for people to hear the perspective of someone who's lived this in a very personal way by losing a family member. And just to really, maybe it will hit home a little deeper that people, that the time has come for people to do more than just say, oh, ain't it awful.
Yeah. I've recently contacted the city of Salem, where I live, and I'd hope to speak in front of the city council. I had a copy of the resolution to withdraw troops that Corvallis had passed a few weeks back. And I talked to the city manager via email, and she said, well, we'll give you 3 minutes at the end of the program. So I wrote back and I said, well, 3 minutes really is not going to give me time to even read the resolution, let alone put a face of war in front of you guys. And she wrote back, 3 minutes.
Unfortunately, that's the way our city council works, too. But there are people here, actually, from American Friends Service Committee and some other organizations that we're working with that are going to try to do a resolution in Portland. But I think the way Corvallis actually got that done was that they got signatures together for quite a long time, for almost a year, I think, and you know, talked with city council members and kind of built community support, and then pushed for it. And then apparently the council members actually switched the text at the last minute, but it's still pretty good as these things go.
Yeah, I thought it was excellent.
We do have some listeners that would like to join us this morning, so let's go ahead and hear from one right now. Good morning, you're on the air.
Hello? Hi, caller. You there?
I'm here, yes.
There you are.
Good morning.
Yeah. I've got my sign ready. It reads in five lines, the only way to win the war against terrorism is to impeach, big red letters, George Bush. I don't think he intends to win this war. To me, it looks like World War III. You know, why? It just looks like he's destroying the economy. He's pitting people against each other here around the world. Are the corporations looking at the end of supply of oil and saying, we can't keep it going, so let's just pull the rug out from underneath everybody? That's what it looks to me like. I don't believe he really wants to win this thing. He wants to do it into a big old end time Armageddon, get the Christians armed and angry, and blow the world to hell. And if you want to make it just simple, war against terrorism, the only way to win it is to get rid of the bastard.
Thank you very much for your call.
Can't disagree with that. Thanks a lot.
Dan or Steve, do you want to respond or say anything?
Thomas, right?
I think he may have gone away.
Okay. My one question to him is, has he written a senator? Has he written his representative about this? How he feels? I mean, he's got passion, and that's what we need. But he needs to express it to the people that can change things, and not just to us.
Right.
But I love him to death for speaking out.
Excellent. Let's go ahead and take another caller. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. I would like to make a recommendation to the gentleman down in Salem. You know, most of the time when these things come up to city council, they already know how they're going to vote. And sometimes, well, the most success we've had in Portland is when we get a delegation of people together, 3 to 5 people with a little stature in the community, to go set up appointments and talk to the council people one-on-one ahead of time and seems that if you have a sponsor and a co-sponsor at city council, then you have a lot much better chance of getting your thing. But keep up the good work on what you're doing.
Thanks. I think that was really good advice.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. And 503-231-8187, again, the number to call.
I guess you got a question for Steve. Steve, have you yet talked to Governor Kulongoski about all this? Because I know he's been going to the funerals saying he thinks that this war is wrong. It's wrong for Bush to keep sending people back over there. Have you been able to talk with the governor?
Actually, my wife and Eric Bickenstaff presented him with a resolution, I think, about a year ago to withdraw the troops.
Yep.
So, yeah, we have been in contact with him, and he is very supportive of, obviously, ending the war and bringing our troops home.
Right.
But he's not speaking out as much as he needs to. So that's another campaign that's going on that we've been part of and other people to get him to call for Bush to bring all the National Guard troops home, which is an inherent part of undercutting the America's ability to have these kinds of preemptive, quote-unquote, ridiculous, not mandated by the U.N., military adventures around the world, is to not let them use people who are supposed to be guarding our state and helping people, as Steve said, with forest fires and other disasters here, sending them overseas for years at a time.
And looking at our last year's history here at home, as it were, the devastating effects of not having any National Guard troops, say, in the Gulf Coast region during hurricane season.
Yes, or any helicopters or whatever that they needed to transport themselves.
Right.
Yeah, all their pumps and everything were overseas.
Mm-hmm. Right. So again, just totally leaving America very vulnerable while fighting an unjust and, really kind of against all international law, near as I can figure, war and occupation overseas.
Well, kind of pointless, too. I mean, what do we hope to accomplish? I think, didn't we learn anything in Vietnam? I guess not.
I think we're hoping to accomplish a couple of things. Profit for Halliburton has been mentioned, and I think that cannot be underscored enough. I think the other thing is, I believe, we just started to mention this, though, that to win the, it doesn't look like he's trying to win the war on terrorism. Well, Cheney, just a few months ago, started talking about trying to rename it. It's not really the war on terror; it's the long war.
Hmm. Oh my God!
And we got to just sort of hunker down because we're in for a long haul. Can't expect immediate results.
Yeah.
And to me, when you have a war of indefinite sort of nature, that the American folks are being told that we just got to prepare for a war without end, basically, then we get set up for very diminished expectations for what we can expect from our government in terms of our own civil liberties, in terms of our own human rights, in terms of our own infrastructure. We also become cowed into accepting more and more repression.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, because there are no more drugs in America anymore because the war on drugs has been going on for 30 years.
That's right. And the war on the poor obviously was very successful
as well. Yes.
Oh, you mean the war on poverty.
No more poverty and no more drugs in America. We just say no here. Well, not only that, but you shouldn't worry about Halliburton, I don't think, because the scuttlebutt is that now that the Republicans have done their good cop, bad cop routine about the ports situation, the scuttlebutt is that Halliburton's going to get that contract, too. So you shouldn't worry about them. They'll be fine.
Yeah, that's who Mr. Bush actually promoted to help with the process, that maybe this other company should call in Halliburton to help him.
Mm-hmm. Because, Halliburton's the only company in the world that can do anything.
Well, with no bid contracts.
What? Do you have a plumbing problem at your house? Call Halliburton.
And see if they can lose $3 billion of euro dollars. Let's go ahead and take our another caller here. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Oh, hi. I got an idea for our senators and all those people who want to, take care of this war on terror and all this other stuff. I think what they should do is take all that money they spend every year on defense and use that instead to feed, clothe, and educate the poor the world over, so something that heaven, like heaven, might dawn, and we'll be able to be free to explore inner and outer space forever in peace together.
Oh, because you think maybe if there was justice and a lack of need of basic commodities around the world, that people might not want to, all shoot at each other? Nah, you're just the dreamer.
Yeah,
what can
a
I
dreamer.
Say? You've been listening to John Lennon again.
I don't know if you were listening before. That is actually one of the sub-themes of the rally is fund education, healthcare, jobs, and the environment, not war. For Sunday, March 19 at Waterfront Park, 1:30. That will be getting addressed. And actually, I should also mention briefly that you hopefully cable listeners will be hearing from a bunch of the other people other than Steve, who will be also speaking at the rally on the 19th in the next week. Among them are Ramon Ramirez of Pecun, and he's going to be speaking about those very issues. I know that people like to think and plan ahead, so just I would expect if you get there at 1:30 to stay in the downtown area until about 4:30. The rally itself will start at 2. There's going to be music from 1:30 to 2 while people are gathering. We're going to hopefully have 5,000 to 10,000 people there, so we can't all get there at 1, so that's why we want you there at 1:30. And then at 2, the speakers will begin. At 2:30, the march will happen. We're going to go kind of snake around downtown area and come on back to the park, and there's going to be a second half of the program that will include a labor leader from Venezuela, Luis Primo, and a couple other people. So it's well worth sticking around for. And one of the other speakers you're going to hear from maybe tonight, I guess, on Bread and Roses. For some reason, I thought it was last night, is Iman. I'm going to get her name wrong. Even though I've been to Iraq twice, I still can't speak Arabic very well. So Iman Ahmad Khamas. And she's going to be on, well, I made that up. No.
I'm impressed.
She's going to be on Bread and Roses this evening at 6, and I think next Wednesday morning on Barbara Bernstein's show. So she's an Iraqi who's actually touring through America with Global Exchange and Code Pink. And she will be speaking in Portland on Monday the 20th at the First Unitarian Church. So don't miss that.
Excellent. And, Bread and Roses on tonight at 6 p.m. following KABU's evening news and Free Speech Radio news at 5 o'clock. Stay tuned to KABU, your community radio station, all day long for news and information. Coming up at 9, we do have the fabulous Marlena Smith and her electronic salon. She'll be speaking with naturopath Stephen Bailey this morning and many other things as well. Then we will go into some inspirational folk music.
Oh, don't forget Democracy Now! At 11 with Amy Goodman.
I do forget Democracy Now!
And then the inspirational folk music.
And, and all afternoon, go ahead, listen. We come back with more information at 5. After we actually give you some music to listen to, enjoy, and gain inspiration from. So stay tuned to KABU, your very own community connection. Do we have another caller, Engineering Pixies? Yes, we do. And 503-231-8187, the number to call again. And Steve, are you still with us?
I am.
Excellent. Just wanted to make sure we were having a little phone difficulty there a minute ago. Good morning. You're on the air to our caller.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Lady. How are you doing?
Good
I love
morning.
Your show.
Thank you.
One of you made a comment about a half an hour ago. You said people are finally starting to make connections between conditions at home and conditions abroad or our foreign policy, in other words. And I wanted to say, yeah, exactly. And this has been going on now for 40, 50 years, my entire life.
Yeah.
And while the current administration is particularly egregious and way over the top, this is really, in a lot of ways, just a logical extension of what we've been doing for 50 years.
Yes, it is. Or maybe you could even say 200 years.
And I just as, you know, I'll throw it back to you with the comment that's really, bottom line, the reason Martin was shot 40 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I absolutely agree with you.
And we've got to do, you know, our whole economy is just, you know, totally entwined with the beast, and we need to raise the conscious level that quote, dual-use technology is primarily designed to kill.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank
your
you.
Call.
That's a really great point. I mean, you know, this is the logical, or perhaps one could say the illogical outgrowth of such things as manifest destiny.
You know,
it's been going on for a long time.
Absolutely. I want to echo that caller. I turned 40 this year. This is like one of my milestone years. I want to start the festival anytime now.
Festival of 40-tivity?
The festival of me.
See.
You know,
we'll get right on that.
I stole the line. I have to admit, hello, Engineering Pixie. I steal many lines from her. And I've been active. I've been active since the late 70s when I was, you know, in my early teens, I guess. Okay, I take it back, before I was in my early teens. And I was first arrested for civil disobedience in 1980, right, to try to stop the draft registration. And the reason I'm going into my personal history here is in 1980, when we were occupying the post office, yes, occupying the post office, because that's where the draft registration window was, where all young men that were born in this six-month period had to come in and register for the draft that week. And we were blocking access to that window. The signs that our supporters were carrying at that time said no blood for oil. Because, in fact, we were concerned that Carter was planning a military strike against Iran. That was during the hostage crisis.
Little did you know what was really going on.
You know, well, still, you know, Carter reinstated the draft registration. There was a lot of military buildup and a lot of propaganda and rhetoric about the evil Iranians after the revolution in 79. And, again, you know, just to echo what that man who called just said, you know, I'm a little tired of the same theme. I'm a little tired of not seeing a whole lot of headway in our foreign policy. And I do think that it has been one continuous slog, you know, with very little in the way of interruption. So we the people, hello, unite, solidarity, and let's actually work towards change. And, you know, not just sort of this odd repackaging. I don't know. It feels a little hard at this point. And I'm thinking, Dan, I know you've been doing this work for a whole long time, and I'm wondering how you feel about, you know, in 91, we talked about no blood for oil. We talked about ending the war in Iraq. We've been bombing them pretty consistently ever since. There was the sanctions. How do you feel about the sort of protracted struggle?
Well, as long as people realize that's what it is, I mean, you just got to prepare yourself for a marathon, as they say, and not a sprint, because this has been going on for a long time. I mean, you know, you
15 years now.
No, well, this, like, the occupation of Iraq has been going on for 15 years, but like this kind of attempt by America to dominate the rest of the world, to make its own people rich and healthy without caring about how that affects other people, has been going on for a very long time. And so there's, you know, there's a lot of work to do, and you don't always see the gains, but they sometimes come in little bits and pieces. And I think that coming together, some people, you know, Annie, you saying that how you got drawn into activism as a young person, and I think that Steve, unfortunately, got drawn into activism because of a personal loss in his family. And it's very hard for people to join military families to speak out. But Steve, I think that there's contact info. There's a coordinator now. And if there's anybody out there who's listening who is a military family, do you happen to have that number if they want to become involved? For Kevin, isn't that his name?
Oh, for a military family to speak out.
Yeah.
I'm looking it up even as we speak, so if you can go on, I'll get back to you on that.
Okay, excellent.
Yeah, because there might be a number of families listening who, you know, have decided that that's something that they'd like to do.
Or, and it is so important to find strength with each other,
yes,
especially as your loved ones are at risk or have been injured or killed in in this war.
Actually, there is no direct phone number, but you can go to... there is. There's an Oregon branch, and there's the national branch, and the national branch is the one that has the phone number. You can go to MFSO.org.
MFSO.org.
Yes. And you can have a link from there to the Oregon chapter of Military Families Speak Out.
And that's MFSO, Military Families Speak Out.
Yeah.
.org.
And their focus, right, is to bring the troops home from Iraq, right?
Right. Bring the troops home now and take care. End the war. Bring the troops home now and take care of them when they get here.
And then what about Veterans for Peace, if anyone's interested in that? Are you a member of the local chapter?
No,
or
I'm a member of the national group, so I won't speak for the local group. I just know that their hearts are in the right place, and you know.
Yeah. I can actually mention two things about that. One is that there are two different Veterans for Peace groups in Portland. One is locally owned and operated, as it were, Northwest Veterans for Peace. They've been around since 1990. And then there's Veterans for Peace Chapter 72, which So the Northwest Vets website is peaceveterans.org. Vets for Peace Chapter 72 is VFP Chapter 72 spelled out, except it's the digits 7 and 2, .org. And they're holding an event Sunday night at PSU in Lincoln Hall, showing, I believe, a slideshow, a multimedia show, about people from who have experienced war in all the different eras, that, like I believe, for all the way from World War II up until this so-called war in Iraq. So that's Sunday night at 7 o'clock at PSU.
Right on. And that's this Sunday night, the 12th.
And let's, since we probably have a bunch of people who tuned in who didn't hear this the first time, let's remind everybody that there's a rally and march to end the war and begin the peace Sunday the 19th. That's not this weekend. It's the weekend after. Gathering at 1:30 at Waterfront Park, somewhere around Oak Street, because you want to miss the construction. And then about 2, the rally will start, and there'll be a march. And then also, earlier that day, Code Pink Portland is inviting all women to join them in a Women's Convergence and Feeder March to that rally. That's going to meet at 12:15 p.m. in the South Park blocks in front of the Portland Art Museum. That's also a week from Sunday, the 19th, 12:15 in South Park blocks in front of the Art Museum for Code Pink. And then on the 20th, which is the next day, a Monday, there is a demonstration in front of Senator Wyden's office at the Federal Building, which is at 1220 Southwest 3rd. That's 3rd and Jefferson. That's going to be Monday the 20th at noon. And that gathering is to support a delegation of peace lobbyists who will be in Senator's office insisting that he introduce legislation to end the occupation of Iraq in 2006. So those are all the events. And then, of course, this coming Sunday, the 12th, there will be a sign-making party. You can tell us again about that?
It's at noon at the Mennonite Church at Southeast 34th and Main. And they're going to be putting together some signs for the rally, and it should be fun. And they're also going to be making some peace puppets. So you can contact Peace and Justice Works at 503-236-3065. Oh, and I forgot to mention our website, which is www.pjw.info. And right on the front page now, we have a picture of one of the lovely banners that a very talented person in our community, Michael of Portland Peace Response Coalition, has made, that are promoting the rally. And if you click on that banner, you can go to a page with downloadable flyers for the rally, information about how to volunteer, the list of the 144 groups that are co-sponsoring and endorsing the rally. On the volunteer information page, there should be later today the specifics about how to go to the sign-making party.
I think that's just a really amazing number, 144 groups.
That's kind of gross.
Very funny. R. So, Steve, I was wondering if you wanted to say anything about, for people who may be just tuning in and didn't hear what you said earlier, you know, what exactly is it that, if you could only have, like, you know, one sentence to that you wanted everybody to really hear and understand from your perspective, what would that be? What is one thing that you really wish that everybody could hear from you and take to heart?
Well, get off your butts. Get active. Contact your representatives and senators. You know, I don't want anybody else to have to join our club.
Right. Very, very important.
We got to stop it. Whatever it takes, we got to stop it. It's our country, and we need to take it back.
Well, and I want to sort of have this sort of, not really an intermission in this discussion, but I want to have another person on the air for just a moment. We have with us by phone, hopefully, if the telephone gods are with us, we have Granny D. Good morning, Granny D.
Good morning. Are you there? Hello, Granny D. Hello, are you there? The vagaries of cell phones. Maybe she's not there anymore.
Her cell phone may have gone away.
That's, yes, unfortunate. We were hoping that we could catch her. Maybe she'll be back in a few.
Granny D is speaking in town a couple of different times today and tomorrow for a to talk about campaign finance reform.
Yes.
And ending corruption,
which of course is really a key component to all this. Yes.
Is very tied into the rest of it. There is the old saying, all struggle is the same struggle.
Yes, it is.
And man, it's very, very true.
Yes, it is. It's so true. Very true. Okay, well, hopefully we'll get her in a minute, but...
Well, I want to just move on forward then. Regroup.
Yes.
Adopt, adapt, improve.
Steve, are you still there?
Yes, I am. Actually, there's also going to be a rally in Corvallis on the 18th.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking at.
That's the day before.
Right. Right.
And do you know when and where that will be gathering?
Yeah, it's at the Benton County Courthouse on 4th and Monroe. The gathering is at 11:30. They're going to start a march at noon and a rally after the march, about 1:15.
Okay. So that's Saturday the 18th.
Yes.
For those of you in Corvallis. And
I think a whole bunch of cities and towns around Oregon are doing their rallies on the 18th. And
right.
Part of that is because I think some of them are going to be bussing people up here on the 19th.
So I was going to say, of course, you had to be dare to be different and have yours on the 19th, though.
Well, no. It was
teasing.
This was deliberate. I mean,
yes.
You know, there are people who do statewide organizing with the Rural Organizing Project. And once we got the word out that we're doing this massive thing on the 19th, a lot of communities said, we're going to do ours on the 18th and send people to Portland.
That makes
sense. So this is
sense.
Really great. And I'm hoping actually... to try to mine the information about all those things and get that up on our website too, because we do have a page of other related events that are going on also on our website.
So it's pjw.info?
Yes.
So, and of course, you could always call 503-236-3065 if you live in an outlying area and want to know if anything's happening in your area.
Oh.
Or, you know, if it's more convenient, you could probably call the Oregon Peace Corps office in Salem,
right.
And I'm not sure what that number is.
It's 503-585-2767. Yes, Oregon Peace Corps actually has the calendar of what's going on. We just haven't cross-posted it on our site yet. So that's OregonPeaceWorks.org is where you can find that stuff.
Yes, for those of you who live in small towns and want to know if there's anything happening so you don't have to drive all the way to Portland, it's always better to organize locally, I think. So, Steve, are you going to be there at the Corvallis March as well?
Yeah, both my wife and I are going to speak there.
Great, great. And so I guess, you know, another question I wanted to ask you is what plans do you have to – do you have plans to, like, work around the country with activists in the future, or was that just a one-time thing when you went down and worked with Cindy Sheehan and those activists? Do you plan to do some more of that?
Actually, I still have to work for a living. So I'm kind of restricted in what I do. My wife is getting ready to go back to school, but she's going to be traveling around. She is part of the ROP, the Rural Organization Project. She's
yes.
traveling around Oregon. But, yeah, we've been invited to several places. I think Cindy is going to be back in Crawford for Easter. We've been invited down there. I don't know whether we're going to be able to make that or not. But, yeah, until I retire, we're going to push this as hard as we can until we reach our goal, which is end the war and bring him home and get rid of Bush.
Hopefully by that time he will no longer be in office and the war will be over.
Although, you know, again, let's look at the history of U.S. policy, and the U.S. policy on Iraq continued throughout the Clinton administration with the sanctions and the bombing, and I think we sometimes pin too much on Bush as individual or the Republicans as a party when we're talking about U.S. foreign policy, and we have to think more about what U.S. foreign policy has been
yes.
for a long, long time.
True.
And let's not just rest and say, oh, wow, we ended this one conflict, we ended this
I
one
agree.
Administration.
Yeah, that's
You're
not
right.
going to solve the problem.
Right, because
right.
we have to make sure that no matter who gets elected, whether it's a Republican or a Democrat
yes.
or any other party, that they get in there and they say, I'm going to conduct myself as a member of the world community. I'm not going to bully other people. I'm not going to use force and to put our economic policies ahead of everybody else's. And I'm not going to favor the rich people in this country over the poor.
Well,
so whoever gets elected should
yes.
say that.
That's one of the reasons why Granny D's cause of campaign finance reform is so important, because even when we get people elected to public office, there was a person who held the seat in David Wu's district a few years back who was a noted peace activist and lefty, and everybody thought it was really thrilling when she got elected, and lo and behold, she went to Congress and she voted for the Defense of Marriage Act and she voted for the crime omnibus bill and, you know, just sort of turned into somebody that nobody recognized anymore. And that's the power of money and corruption. I'm not saying that she was bought off, but I'm just saying that even the most well-meaning person who goes to D.C. often gets sucked into this maelstrom of money and influence. And that's why campaign finance reform is so key, because we have to elect people not only who we can trust, who are more representative of those real people out here whose views don't get represented much, but then we have to get big money out of the procedure, or it's just going to be the same old thing all over again. You know, this is never going to end until we end the reign of the wealthy over the electoral process. You know, not to mention
what, reinstate actual democracy.
Yes, not to mention, you know, actually being able to count on the fact that when we vote, that the votes are counted accurately and honestly, which is a whole other issue, which is definitely part of this equation. So, you know, they all tie, the dots all meet in one place eventually.
And speaking of meeting in one place, March 19th.
Nice segue there.
You know, as I hear them, I grab them. Sunday, March 19th, gathering at 1:30, the main gathering point at Waterfront Park downtown, just north of the Morrison Bridge, as Dan pointed out earlier. The entrance to the park is kind of restricted to Oak Street because of a lot of construction. So Oak Street right there, just north of the Morrison Bridge, 1:30 on the 19th. The event actually begins at 2, but give yourself time to enter on in, check out the 70-odd tables, and you know, find some information and get connected so you can sustain yourself as part of a very broad-based struggle for social justice.
Right. And to that end, remember, they need volunteers.
Yeah, that's true. I'm glad you mentioned that. And please do call 236-3065 if you have time between now and then to help put up posters and flyers and call people to turn them out, and or if you have time on the day of. But two, if you're going to come downtown, also in terms of our progressive values that we're celebrating in No Blood for Oil, you know, try to use TriMat, try to use especially the Max, because there's a stop, I think, at First and Oak, which is, you know, it's a hop.
Right.
You can hop from there to the park. You could roll out of the train and land in the park off the Max stop there. So, you know, there's not going to be a lot of parking if we have 5,000 to 10,000 people coming to this rally. So, you know, if you can, you carpool, take a bus. And also, every Friday, Portland Peaceful Response Coalition has their Friday rally since fall of 2001, after the invasion of Afghanistan. They have been out there every single Friday at 5
o'clock, really,
which
impressive.
Is amazing. And they have been promoting the heck out of this rally, and they've been going out and counting down the sub-themes one at a time. So this tonight, they're going to be out at 5 o'clock at Pioneer Courthouse Square. And then next week, if all goes well, they will be accompanied by the bus named Cool, which I don't know if you've ever seen, the biodiesel blue bus.
Yes, really cool.
And it's going to be decked out and letting people know all about the rally. So.
Excellent. 503-231-8187, the number to call if you'd like to join us. And I believe we do have a listener who's waiting to join the conversation right now. Good morning. You're on the air. Hello?
Caller, are you there?
Oh, I think we need another engineer arm. Good morning, caller. Are you on the air?
We're exploring genetic manipulation for our engineers so they can grow a third arm, but we haven't had much success with that yet.
Stretch. Good morning. Are you on the air now?
Can you hear me now?
There you are.
I can. Yay, you're here. Yay.
Good morning, Ani and Melody, Reggae Bob.
Good morning,
hi there,
Reggae
Bob. How are you?
I'm doing really good. You know, I learn more each morning. I should have been listening to you guys more also. I got you on my dial more and more. Your show, more and more. That Halliburton and their input in the war is amazing. They're feeding the troops. They got the contract to feed the troops.
Yeah, not only that, there's been all kinds of reports that they feed them inedible, spoiled, disgusting food. It's just really horrible.
Good gosh.
You can't even do that right.
I hear you there. You know, I'm finally mad enough about this war, mad enough to fight for peace. So this is going to be my very first peace rally march, and I'm going to be down there.
Excellent.
And I'm going to try to make it down to the church on this coming Sunday on the sign making part of it, because you know I got the volunteer spirit, you know that.
Awesome.
I know you have the volunteer spirit, not to mention you have a great way with words. I'm excited to see what sign you come up with.
Okay, or perhaps you make a puppet.
Right on, maybe. And the gentleman that's working with you from Salem, is he still on the line?
I am.
Okay. I want to know, are there any black or African-American contingencies? Because, like, the women are doing a gathering, that's beautiful, all together. But it's nice to see somebody like you, with you, and about your also that are going to be in the march. Any groups like that coming down that you know of?
Some of that was cutting out. I didn't quite get all of that.
I think. Are you asking about a military families group that's African American, or any group that's African American?
No, any group.
Well,
that's a good question. We got all these co-sponsoring organizations, and I don't know if I could name any that are specifically African American based, because there's so many of them. I will check into that.
There's certainly Gold Star families and military families involved in these organizations that are, because many African Americans have been killed in Iraq. But unfortunately, you know, I mean, the poor and the people of color are disproportionately represented in the military for a lot of economic reasons, which are pretty obvious.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Okay, and is there a website that will show almost all of the organizations so I could maybe look on there and see if I can visit?
It's www.pjw.info for Peace and Justice Works.
PJW.info?
That's it.
Yes, and it has a complete list of all the groups, and there's 144 of them.
Yep.
Well, I think I can spend an hour or two to read through the list.
I'm so
Thanks,
glad
everybody.
Thank you, Reggae Bob. Take care.
Okay, you too.
And it's an excellent question and really points to the need of doing more and more solidarity work all the time as we must become a very broad-based coalition.
Well, I wanted to ask Steve, when you were down in Texas or Florida, or wherever it was that you were, did you encounter African-Americans that were involved in the Gold Star family phenomenon there?
Yeah, there were some of them eloquent speakers back there. Definitely. Wow, that's why I mean, there were some women there that were so outspoken, African-American women that were so outspoken. It's so encouraging to see not only just women speaking out, but black women, their husbands. There was one woman that when we were attending a Cheney rally in Pensacola, Florida, her husband was just getting ready to go over, and she was just beside herself. She was just coming unglued.
Uh-huh.
She was out there with us.
Absolutely.
He was out there with us. You know, no race is no. Unfortunately, it doesn't make any difference to Bush.
Yeah, for sure.
No, I really don't think that he has any regard for people beyond his own, unless it has a reference to him.
Well,
you know?
He put it perfectly himself. You know, he's talking to his people, the haves and the have mores.
Yeah.
And that, there really is that mindset in our administration, and it's a tragedy and a travesty.
But I just don't think that he's really capable of compassion or connection with another person. I think it's very sad. There's some armchair psychology there, but shared by some people like the author of Bush on the Couch, who was a psychiatrist who wrote his speculative idea of what was up with Bush. But, I mean, it's very sad, actually. I think he's a very pathetic human being and certainly not someone who should be in charge of any kind of a military operation, because he really doesn't understand at all the devastation or care.
Well, he seems to be unable to do the empathy thing.
Yeah, the empathy thing. It's not something he's good at.
Let's go ahead and listen to another listener right now. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hello, caller.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey there.
Hi, honey. Hi, Melody. I'm right here.
Hi, LJ.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
All right, groovy. Okay, listen, just a couple of quick things. In a recent CNN Time magazine poll taken by the troops on the ground, the boots, mm-hmm. the guys that actually do the work, 29% want to leave tomorrow.
Right.
72% want to leave in a year.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And also, the majority of them think that they're there because they're there to punish the Iraqis for 9/11, which, of course, they had nothing to do with.
No. What's going on, you guys, is that our poor troops are there protecting each other. This is yet another war that we have lost, right? We haven't been able to, the United States hasn't been able to win a war since World War II. Korea, standoff, all right? Nam, we lost that altogether. Forget that. But the collateral damage is we did destroy their country. Right? And then this war is done. It's over. There's no way we're going to win this war. The Iraqi people already whooped our butt. Okay. Number two. I'm happy that you took comfort in what Mr. Smith had to say. I wonder how many of Mr. Smith's immediate family is fighting over there.
Hmm.
Mr. Smith has, being a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, I'm sure has a very big family. Why am I almost certain that none of his kids are serving in the military?
Yeah, well, I think that would be your knowledge of history and the fact that we know that the people that send other people's kids to wars very rarely have them go, their own kids go.
Oh, yeah. George Bush has 10 family members who are eligible for the military. Geez, I'm assuming that not a single one is over there. So they sure don't mind sacrificing your kids.
Right.
But they sure as hell will never sacrifice their kids.
That's one of our talking points, too, is that they don't have any skin in the game.
That's right. That's right. Right. Good job about putting some heat on the street. Let's all show up. Be there or be square. Have a great day.
Bye-bye, LJ.
Bye.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
So I just want to say that I was flipping through the list of names here, and I realized that last night somebody snuck their name on as an endorser. There's actually 145 groups
wow.
involved. And we've been doing these big rallies now since October of 2002 when we were trying to preempt this invasion before it happened, starting with 12 organizations and building up. And the largest number of groups we ever had was 157, but this is the second largest collection of organizations. And to speak to Steve's participation with Cindy Sheehan at Crawford last summer, I think that put the wind back in the sails of the movement.
It did.
I really do. And, you know, people, after the war broke out, it was very hard for us to get the people together in March. We have had a couple of large ones, but I think this one on the 19th is going to be really, really big because we clearly have a lot of organizations that are interested. And if your organization's not an endorser or Ghostbusters so far, give us a call
it's
at Peace and Justice Works, 503-236-3065. And, I'm not sure what the rules are at Cable anymore, but let's just say that we need money to make sure that this thing happens, too. So the co-sponsors are
is it required
money.
To donate
no,
some
not,
money
if
to
you're
be co-sponsor?
Endorser just yeah. means we think you're great, and co-sponsors are giving $50 or more to the
And it does cost money to to keep the movement afloat. And if people are wanting to contribute, Dan, it is okay to mention that. How can people get in touch and contribute?
They can call Peace and Justice Works, 503-236-3065. Our mailing address is up on our website. And there are actually five different fiscal co-sponsors for the rallies, but I will not bore you with the details of that. If you call or write, I can get back to you with it.
Yes, democracy, unfortunately, is not free. Neither is freedom. And, you know, all this does take money. And so it's always welcomed, I'm sure.
I want you to give your website one more time.
www.pjw.info. Peace and Justice Works. That's pjw.info.
All right.
And if you Google Peace and Justice Works, I think it pops up. And then right under it, you get Justices of the Peace to marry people.
Hey, well, you know,
we love that. Let's go ahead and squeeze in another caller. We have only 5 minutes left of the show. Good morning. You are on the air.
Yes, in a historical context, the caller who referred to 60 years of the same thing, I think he was onto something here. You know, actually, if you look at previous wars, though, they were not fought for any good reason. They at least were over in relatively quick time. But since the Vietnam War, you have probably what could be called wars for profit, and the Vietnam War was profitable for the Wall Streeters, and they probably would have kept it going as long as they could, in that they felt that, you know, Vietnam had a growing population and the people were willing to fight U.S. power, and people didn't understand the industrial aspect of the war. And I think people should look at the constituents who support war. Who are the industries? What religious groups are behind this kind mm-hmm. of war? Specifically, I'm deeply concerned about what's going on in occupied territories, because I think that people that are actually building the homes on occupied territories are the ones who are promoting militarism and aggressive war. I mean, there's no better example of profit over the occupation, and you know, we have to look at, is there really any, like, piece of land that is so valuable that you have to fight over it, that you have to steal it from somebody? I mean, isn't the planet Earth just one thing that was created by God, and most of it is beautiful, most of it is hospitable? I mean, mankind has lived all over the planet, but we should learn to love the Earth and not feel that we have to possess it. And if we could go after these religious groups that they're actually quite militant, you know, the most militant people are the ones who want the land that they feel was given to them in the Bible or something. And there's a lot of people in the U.S., a lot of Southerners are stuck on this. I mean, we have to appeal to the constituents of the war, and maybe try to shame the industry. Maybe we should be building clean energy transportation systems instead of promoting the destruction of the Earth and draining off our treasury.
All right. Thank you very much for your call.
And, of course, this country got started that way by stealing land from people and building houses on it.
Let's just say it's an American tradition.
Yeah, it's a long, and we weren't the first, we weren't the first example of that either, of course. This has been going on, you know, for as long as humans have been roaming the Earth, I think, and it's really time to stop.
And we have only about a minute and a half left. So one more time, the exhortation of people to gather. Of course, we will talk more about March 19th, the gathering. I do want to mention one more time, Monday, March 20th, noon to 1 p.m., the Federal Building. That's the day after the huge march and rally. Be a part. Then Monday, March 20th, noon to 1 p.m., the Federal Building, demonstrating directly to Senator Wyden as a group of peace activists insist that he introduce legislation. Information on that can be found at 503-327-8250. And we got 1 minute left to talk about the gathering next Sunday.
Let's not forget that the same day, March 19th, is the rally and march. Code Pink Portland invites all women to join a Women's Convergence and Feeder March. And that's going to meet at 12:15 in the South Park blocks in front of the Portland Art Museum. And, of course, we'll end up joining the major rally and march down in Waterfront Park. So if you're feeling pink or would like to, go ahead and join us.
I know we were talking about having a gathering here at KABU, gathering around noon-ish. Of KABU volunteers and listeners who would like to have the KABU contingency. So, you know, it's always nice to be with family during these things. And if you want more information on that, you can call me, 503-231-8032, extension 213. But the point is, however you get there, get there. Dan, you got about, say 3 seconds. Any last words for exhorting people to the march and rally next week?
Come out. Have your voice heard. The more that we come out, the more the people will listen and the more that our policies will change. And Steve, are you still there?
I think he's gone.
Okay, so mfso.org for Military Families Speak Out, pjw.info for Peace and Justice Works. Please get involved, plug in, get involved in some group, and make a change.
Thanks. And, of course, all of this information will be at our front desk, 503-231-8032, if you call in anytime right about now. And thanks very much for listening. See you next week.